That point, it won't just be you and me here at Channel 10. It's broadcast coast to coast, from California to Florida, to D.C., Tennessee, South Carolina, Missouri. I don't remember all the places. But we're one RadioInsideScoop.com community, and I hope you will take the time to call in, to watch the rest of the hour. I've got a lot of inside information that isn't being reported in the mainstream media. And, like I said, call in, play a part, and after Monday, anytime you want to check out the Inside Scoop, like I said, just go to RadioInsideScoop.com. Again, the focus today is going to be on New Orleans and the tremendous failures of our government to do the right thing to protect American citizens when they needed most protecting. Toll free, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington. The government does not want you to know. I want to talk in detail today about New Orleans, because when you're talking about New Orleans, the details matter. It matters whether or not the government provided the protection we needed for those levees that came down, the levees that came down and allowed New Orleans to flood. It matters the response time that the government had, and whether or not and why not the food and water was there at the time. And there's so many different aspects to this story, and I really want to explore them over the next hour with you and those of you that call in at 877-528-TALK. Part of it has to do with philosophy. The Bush administration has a philosophy that I think is typical of a conservative philosophy. It's the philosophy that, well, you're on your own. If you have a problem in America, you're on your own. As Grover Norquist once said, we want to reduce government to a level so small that we can drown it in a bathtub. And so the government, the federal government, said when Hurricane Katrina comes, folks, you're on your own. Local governments, state governments, yes, it's a huge Class 5 hurricane. Yes, of course we know that New Orleans is likely to be flooded. It's been reported again and again, not just by the New Orleans Times-Picayune again and again, but also by the Army Corps of Engineers, and also by the National Weather Service. Everyone knew this was going to happen, but as Bush said, we were waiting for the request. And when the governor of Louisiana, Governor Blanco, asked the federal government for everything they could possibly give to help her, begging the president for support, the president said, you got to fill out some paperwork first, Governor. Tell me exactly what you need. And she said, everything. We need the military. We need food. We need water. Where do you need the food? Where do you need the water? Who are the people? All the red tape. Because their view was basically one where the question was, you know, you're on your own. If you need the federal government, maybe we'll help you. But otherwise, you're on your own. And what's interesting to me is that when George Bush has been asked about this on air, in fact, I'm going to play a clip in just a few seconds from Good Morning America, he really seems not to get it. I want to know what you think about this clip. By the way, folks, anytime you want to find out what's going on this show, you go to the website at RadioInsideScoop.com. Maybe we can show that on here. You'll see there's all the programs. For example, this is from September 1st. It's the Battle of New Orleans. And in this one, we have all these links that tell you, for example, details on the failures of the Bush administration to protect New Orleans, or the articles, the original articles from the New Orleans Times-Picayune, warning of the danger to come from a Category 5 hurricane, or even the very conservative Chicago Tribune pointing the finger squarely at the Bush administration. And on today's show, we've got right here, September 12th, the details matter. Again, links, crucial delays in relief were a direct result of Bush administration's decision. Long article in the New York Times. So you can look, you can see that I'm not making this stuff up, folks. This is hard facts, and I really suggest that you take the time at some point and you read it for yourself. Now, let's go to, not quite to Scott McClellan quite yet. What I want to do is I want to turn to a site from Media Matters. I want to thank Media Matters for this. They have an interview with George Bush on Good Morning America. Let's listen in to the President of the United States.
And in fact, Mr. President, this morning, as we speak, as you say, there are people with signs saying, help, come get me. People still in the attic waving. Nurses are phoning in saying the situation in hospitals is getting ever more dire, that the nurses are getting sick now because of no clean water. And some of the things they have asked our correspondents to ask you is they expected, they say to us, that the day after this hurricane, that there would be a massive and visible armada of federal support. There would be boats coming in, there would be food, there would be water, and it would be there within hours. They wondered, what's taking so long?
Well, there's a lot of food on its way, a lot of water on the way, and there's a lot of boats and choppers headed that way, or boats and choppers headed that way.
Now, this video, folks, this video was 4 days after the levees breached in New Orleans. Did you hear what he said? There are boats on the way. There's food on the way. Now, the obvious question is not, okay, 4 days later when everyone is complaining and you, the president, have the lowest opinion rating in your history, and of course, you've had to finally disrupt your vacation in Crawford, which you really didn't want to disrupt. Will you finally send food aid? Yeah, he does. Question is, why wasn't the food and water there to begin with? And the answer lies in an obscure reordering of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. What you may not know is that FEMA, under Bill Clinton, under the federal emergency manager James Lee Witt, who had a lot of experience in that kind of work, it was a professional organization. It was rated the highest and most respected agency in government. But George Bush felt that it was pork. It was pork. It was a waste of money to try to help save people from hurricanes and fires and floods. Instead, he felt that we needed things like a bridge in Alaska that connected an island with only 50 people on the island called Don Young's Way. So, what did he do? He took FEMA and he reduced it from a cabinet agency to a small part of Homeland Security. And I'll tell you the story more after the break. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the food and drug...
Mrs. DeBruzzo, I'm Ed McMahon, and we're signing up people for...
Yes, I am.
Mr. Murphy, Ed McMahon.
We're starting up...
No.
Dreams
no.
really do come true.
Dinero.
No,
Ed McMahon, see.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, Ed McMahon. We're having our first ever...
Ed McMahon.
Yes. Tuesday night at the high school. We're starting up the neighborhood watch in this area, and here's all the information.
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, he's just here. It's just...
Six, seven, eight.
No tango, Danero. Neighborhood watch.
We're having this neighborhood watch, the first one.
Right.
I'll come back.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Start a neighborhood watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
When I was young, my dad always told me to dream big and dream often.
My mom and dad were always my biggest cheerleaders. I've been very fortunate to have parents that care, but some kids aren't so lucky.
That's why the Major League Baseball players trust for children.
Same with Volunteers of America, to help kids everywhere.
For
more than 100 years, Volunteers of America has helped children, families, and many others rebuild their lives.
Our Share with a Child partnership wants you to give kids your time, guidance, and support.
Let's work together to give every child a chance. Find out how you can help a child dream big.
Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit volunteersofamerica.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. In New Orleans, the details matter. They're really quite important. And you have to know what it is that was done before, during, and after. Right? You have to know what was prepared for the levees. Okay? So let me give you some facts here. In June 2004, according to the New Orleans Times-Picayune, it was the first time in 37 years that federal budget cuts all but stopped major work on the New Orleans East Bank hurricane levees. In 2005, $27 million was asked for hurricane projects, protection projects. $27 million. I don't know if you can realize how small that is to the federal government, okay? Let me give you an idea. In Iraq, we spend about $2 billion, well, $1 billion a day. Okay, we spend, $200 million about. We spend 10 times what New Orleans requested in a year, in a day, in Iraq. Now, the president said, we have to fight in Baghdad so we don't have to fight in America. But did he really realize he was opening New Orleans to catastrophe in order to bring that fight to Baghdad? So, they asked for $27 million. The president gave them $3.9 million. And Congress upped it to $5.7 million. All right. What? In other words, they got about an eighth of what they wanted from the president, and Congress raised it to about a fourth of what they wanted. They just couldn't do the products, the projects. They also asked for $78 million to improve drainage to prevent flooding. The president gave them less than half of their request. Congress upped it a little, but not enough. And you don't have to believe me here. Let me tell you who to believe. Michael Parker, a former Republican Mississippi congressman. Now, you and I know that in Mississippi, the Democrats are more conservative than your average American. The Republicans are very, very conservative. They are very loyal to their president. Michael Parker said that New Orleans was more likely to be flooded. When did he say this? When he was head of the Army Corps of Engineers. He ran the Army Corps of Engineers from October 2001 to March 2002. He was fired 5 months later. What did he do? Something like Michael Brown? Did he allow a catastrophe to occur? No. No, he publicly complained about the cuts in the budget and said they might lead to flooding. Well, that was too much for the Bush administration. They can handle incompetence. What they can't handle is criticism. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Mary from Reston, Virginia, you're on the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, good. I just have two comments to make. I think Bush is an idiot. Evidently, people wanted him for president, and now the country seems to be going to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to say that if Osama bin Laden is still alive, and or all the people, the insurgents and terrorists that hate us, they must really be laughing about what happened, because the hurricane accomplished what they would have loved to accomplish. I mean, it destroyed cities. So I guess they really think we're funny. They say, you know, they plan well. I don't like them, but they do plan well. And what do? We can't get anything right anymore.
The sad thing is that our president has caused as much or more damage than the terrorists.
That's
what we've got here. We've got President Bush, by his neglect, by his belief that you're on your own, that you don't need the federal government, that if a hurricane comes, just, you know, run. And if you don't have a car, die, I guess.
I think he should be impeached, to tell you the truth. I mean, he's just so stupid.
It really is. And what's really sad is this sort of penny-wise, pound-foolish notion. Mm-hmm. The total cost of preparing the levees for a hurricane like this would have been about $300 million, mm-hmm. maximum $1 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they're going to pay hundreds of billions of dollars, not to mention probably more than 1,000 lives lost, if not more, and of course all the anguish that people had to suffer, all because the president felt that people making $10 million, $100 million a year needed another $100 million. I mean, that's the thing. It's you know, this idea that tax cuts are so wonderful, that rich people, extremely rich people, need this money. And the answer is, well, I don't see Walmart putting money in to fix the levees. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see Sam Walton putting that money in. What is government for if not to protect American safety? Otherwise, why do we even have a government? Mm-hmm. But these people, it's just a philosophical thing for them. They hate the idea of people helping people. They hate that. They say that belongs in churches, but it doesn't belong in our government. And well, I think their philosophy is, well, finally showing the American people what it's all about.
Thanks for your call, Mary. I hope that they do something. But, you know, with all these people relocating to other states, I mean, with the economy the way it is, I mean, what's going to happen? You know, I mean, cities say they don't have the money, you know, to help people. They're trying to help.
I think what's happened is that the flood in New Orleans has exposed the poverty in America that's all been existing for a long period of time. You know, under Bill Clinton, poverty dropped every single year from 1993 to 2000. Under George Bush, it's gone up every single year from 2001 to 2005. And for middle-class people, some of them just don't know the rank poverty that exists in America. Yes, there are people in America that are too poor to get out of a city when it's being flooded. And they're not the kind of people who vote for George Bush. And so he doesn't really care much about them. And, you know, to me, the person who put it best, the person who explained compassionate conservatism the best to me, was Barbara Bush. Maybe we can show her quote right here on the blog. What she said, and I want to give this an exact quote. The definition of compassionate conservative, okay, it's right here by Barbara Bush. And the definition, and I know it's not coming that clear on the TV. The definition is this. Here's what she said. She said, so many people in the arenas here, these are the people who got out of the Superdome, who are in the Astrodome, so many people were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them, she said. What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. So did you hear what she says? They're underprivileged anyway. So they happen to lose a few relatives in the flood. They happen to lose all their belongings. They didn't have much anyway. They don't matter much. They're doing very well. They have a cot in the Astrodome. They're doing better. That's great. That's more than they need. To me, Barbara Bush defines what is the conservative movement today. Mary, I want to thank you for your call. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister, stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, Mr. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened star.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here, because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Everyone knew of the dangers in New Orleans. Everyone knew this was a city below sea level. Everyone knew that the levees would have difficulty with a Category 3 storm, much less a Category 4 or Category 5 storm. Local and state officials begged the president for help as he went to San Diego to play the fiddle. Did you know our president could pick a banjo? Actually, he picks the guitar. Let me see if I can show this on the screen. This is what the president was doing, by the way, while he was right here. Here he goes. The levees are breaking, and this is our president. Isn't that nice to see? He's having a good time. He's not worried. He's on vacation. He's picking a guitar, and he's raising money for his political campaign. Now, here's my question. How come this picture isn't on the front page of every newspaper, and I have to show it to you? Let's go back to George Bush's interview with Good Morning America, and let's hear more of what he had to say. Did he know the levees could break?
It just takes a while to float them. I mean, for example, the Iwo Jima is coming from the east coast of the United States toward New Orleans, and people have got to know that there is a massive relief, one of the most massive federal relief effort ever, in combination with state and local authorities, and there is a lot of help coming.
But given, Mr. President, why didn't you send Iwo Jima to the Gulf before the hurricane came? We all saw it tracking on the Weather Channel. More questions.
Everyone anticipated a possible Hurricane 5 hitting shore. Are you satisfied with the pace at which this is arriving and at which it was planned to arrive?
Well, I fully understand people wanting things to have happened yesterday. I mean, I understand the anxiety of people on the ground. I just can't imagine what it's like to be waving a sign that said, come and get me now.
Stop the tape. You know what, folks? Things can happen yesterday if you know a hurricane's coming. All right, I don't blame the president for not having people in New York on the morning of September 11th ready to stop that catastrophe. I don't blame him for that. All right? He didn't know it was coming. He should have known something was coming, but he didn't know it was coming September 11th. They didn't translate the Arabic documents that said something was going to happen on September 11th because they didn't have enough translators because they fired all of our army translators because they're gay. The president decided that American security isn't as important as kicking gays out of the military. Fine, okay, he did that. That we didn't have enough people available in New York. But the hurricane we knew was coming. They showed it tracking day by day by day. You saw it, I saw it, we all saw it grow from Category 2, Category 3, Category 4, Category 5. Even the National Weather Service said this was going to cause massive flooding in New Orleans. So what's the president's response? Let's go back to the interview.
I want people to know there's a lot of help coming. I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Wait, catch that. I don't know. I'm going to roll that back. Nobody anticipated the breach of the levees? Well, only the New Orleans Times-Picayune did a 9-part series on it. Now, I realize the president doesn't have much time to read. He is busy doing important things for this country, like cleaning up brush at Crawford. And I understand that removing trees from Crawford is more important than studying the frequent reports of the Army Corps of Engineers warning that a catastrophe was going to happen in New Orleans. Did you know in 2001, they reported 3 of the most likely catastrophes to happen in the United States? You know what they were? Number 1. Destruction of the World Trade Center by terrorists. destruction in a major American city, New York or Washington, of major landmarks. And they mentioned the World Trade Center, and they mentioned flying planes in the buildings. That was one. Number two was breaching the levees, flooding New Orleans. Number three hasn't happened yet, but you know what it is? I'll tell you. It's a truck bomb, a Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb, hitting a major chemical or nuclear plant. And is the president protecting us from those? Not at all. My friends, accident one has happened. Accident two has happened. The third catastrophe. I do not want to be a predictor here. But if our president doesn't do something to protect us from it, as we have proposed in legislation, the Democrats have proposed, we are heading for a third catastrophe. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
Following the tragic events of September 11th, there have been hundreds of violent attacks against innocent Americans.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
Remember, please stop the hate.
We're stronger when we are united.
Remember.
Remember what that flag you're waving stands for.
One nation under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty.
And justice.
For all. In America, there's either room for everyone or it's not America. Don't pick the wrong fight.
Let's keep America land of the free.
Stop the hate.
I helped turn my child's public school into a whole new kind of school. One with a curriculum that really motivates kids. One that has extended hours, 6 days a week, year round. With loads of academic, cultural, and recreational activities. One that has support services, like medical and dental, right there. A school where parents' involvement is encouraged. Where teachers have more time to teach. And students are excited about learning. There's just one problem. My child doesn't ever want to come home. You can help turn your school into a community school for excellence. Find out how. Call 1-877-LOVE-TO-LEARN.
Mrs. DeBruzzo, I'm here with the Neighborhood Watch. I'm signing up people for the Neighborhood Watch.
You made our dreams come true. You have your cameras here? Where are you going, Mr. McMahon?
I'm going to check with the lady next door.
Are you going to get the check?
Start a Neighborhood Watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The president has not talked much in terms of responding to press questions about Hurricane Katrina. He goes, he gives a speech, but he doesn't answer many questions. And when he does, when someone says, Mr. President, why wasn't food, water out there? He says, I don't want to play the blame game. I don't believe the president should be held accountable to the American people. This is royalty, folks. We are kings. We are princes. Presidents, you make us think like the American people have some control over the presidency. Don't forget, President Bush might say, I wasn't elected. I was selected by the Supreme Court. We control voting machines. This is someone who does not want to be accountable to the American people. So he says, don't play the blame game. if you blame me, then, that would be bad. That would be holding someone accountable. That would be like firing people that do a bad job. That's un-American. The only people we fire, as he proved by firing a Mississippi, former Republican Mississippi Congressman Michael Parker, we only fire people who complain. We fired Michael Parker because he publicly condemned our cuts to the levees. He publicly said that there's danger to the levees. Now, let's go back to the tape. Let's go back to the one interview the president has given on this where he responded to questions. And what does he have to say? Let's go back to the tape.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Okay. Now, clearly the president didn't anticipate that breach. Here's he. What's he doing, by the way? The levees were breached at 3 a.m. in the morning. This is the president that afternoon. And what's he doing? He's playing guitar. Got a guy helping him. He's raising money in San Diego. All right. The president certainly is saying he didn't anticipate the breach in the levees. So my question for you, and I'd really like to hear from you, 877-528-TALK, is President Bush an idiot or incompetent or uncaring? Which is it? I mean, is he too stupid to understand what a breach of a levee means? Does he not read any of the reports of his government saying the levees are breached? Or is he just a puppet where Cheney and Rove read about the breaches in the levees, but they say, we don't care. Those are poor black people. We want to help Halliburton. And a flood, as this one has done, really helps Halliburton. In fact, one of the things that's really come out from this crisis is that it's brought to the fore issues of poverty, issues of race. Most of the victims were poor. Most of the victims were black. So here's the president's two-pronged solution to problems of poverty and race. One, make the people more poor. And two, encourage discrimination. Now, I wish I were joking. I really wish I were joking. But here's what the president did. First of all, in terms of to help people be more poor, he decided to cut prevailing wages for the people fixing the levees. You know those emergency workers that are working so hard? Those firefighters, those police that are risking their lives to save lives? It's time to cut their pay. They simply are paid too much. So the president cut the prevailing wage. Again, I'm not making this up. Read the New York Times article that I have on my website that's cited right there. He's cutting the prevailing wage. But by the way, the wage, it's easy to know. It'll make you feel better. They're just for working people. Just those firefighters, policemen giving their lives, their wage is being cut. But the money going to Halliburton isn't being watched at all. Go ahead. Check out the website here. We have it right here. We've got the website. And it shows that the president is cutting wages right here. He's cutting wages. Keep New Orleans poor. By underpaying all of those helping rebuilding. This is a New York Times editorial called A Shameful Proclamation, right? Where he suspended the law that you pay local prevailing wages. But at the same time, Halliburton, the cronies there, they get paid very well. Here's an article by Naomi Klein, Power to the Victims of New Orleans. With the poor gone, developers are planning to gentrify the city. Isn't that nice? Developers are going to gentrify the city now that the poor are gone, and it talks about how Halliburton and all these other companies are being paid big money. So only the poor suffer. And on issues of race, well, Bush has another solution. It's called the faith-based solution. And his plan is to take money from organizations that don't discriminate, organizations like Catholic Charities and the like, that don't discriminate, and instead give it to organizations that do discriminate. Martin Luther King once said that the most segregated hour in America is Sunday morning, when white people and black people go to church. And yet George Bush's faith-based initiative gives money only to churches based on certain religions, based on certain races. So his solution to poverty and racism is to bring more poverty and more racism. Pretty extraordinary stuff. Do you disagree? 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let me go back, because I think it's interesting to hear the response of the media. The president has just said something extraordinary. He said no one anticipated a breach in the levees. So, is that challenged? Let's listen in.
Can't imagine what it's like to be waving a sign that said, come and get me now. So there is frustration. But I want people to know there's a lot of help coming. I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. They did anticipate a serious storm. But these levees got breached, and as a result, much of New Orleans is flooded, and now we're having to deal with it, and we'll.
A couple of quick questions about the concerns. Any signs of disease outbreaks yet reported?
What about a challenge to the president? No one anticipated a breach of the levees? No, doesn't come. Let's go back to the interview.
Not yet, but I talked to Secretary Leavitt, who's been working with the CDC to rally doctors and nurses to go down in the area to help, just to make sure disease doesn't outbreak. But I think people, you know, that's going to be one of the real problems we're going to have to deal with is disease.
What about the other nations of the world? Are they offering the kind of help that you expected them to help, you want them to help, and there is a report that you're going to deploy your father again and President Clinton again to go out there and seek it. What is it you are expecting from them, and will you get it?
I'm not expecting much from foreign nations because we hadn't asked for it. I do suspect a lot of sympathy, and perhaps some will send cash, dollars. But this country is going to rise up and take care of it. You know, we'd love help, but we're going to take care of our own business as well. And there's no doubt in my mind we'll succeed. And there's no doubt in my mind, as I sit here talking to you, that New Orleans is going to rise up again as a great city. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort. But this is a compassionate nation. It's got a lot of resources at its disposal, and we're going to help those people.
And so what do? We refuse foreign aid. Time and time again, Canada, European nations, Israel, they all came, they all offered aid. And just like the state and local governments that offered aid, what did FEMA say? What did the Federal Emergency Management Agency say? They said, no, now you got to fill out some forms. We can't wait. Did you know there was a convoy from Detroit, and they told them, I'm sorry, you have to wait. We're not ready for you, FEMA said. And he refused to listen. He actually disobeyed his governor as well. They went down, and for 48 hours, they saved lives, while other local officials had the stupidity to listen to the federal government. They should know better. They should know that when George Bush says, wait, people are dying. Do not listen to your president when Americans are in danger, because Americans will die. I know there are people on the phone. I will get to you right after the break. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255.
I'm sure you've heard...
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh. Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. Take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learn basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Line it up, baby.
from Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. You know, the catastrophe in New Orleans. It's kind of hard. I mean, you've seen the picture, but it must be very hard to fathom. I mean, here you had September 11th, the awfulness of September 11th, and we thought that was the worst we were going to see. But now we have a toxic waste dump. We have 60,000 square miles of floods, all because of levees that were breached that shouldn't have been breached. You know, it's one thing, and I know there's some people that are going to talk about religion and blame God for Hurricane Katrina, and I'll have that discussion if you want. We'll talk about anything you want. But my view is that this isn't a case where the danger could not have been prevented. It's clearly there. And why don't we have a president of the United States who's a stand-up guy who says, you know what, I messed up. I should have known the levees could be breached. But either, if he knows it, then he's lying to us, right? He's lying on TV to us. And if he didn't know it, then he's so incompetent, he shouldn't be president of the United States to begin with. And the reporter, Diane Sawyer, doesn't challenge him, and she knows. She knows that there were reports of the levees being breached. She even says, so let me play just a little bit more of the interview. Here's what she says.
There was worry about the levees breaking, as we know, years before, and replacing New Orleans in a situation where you have to have massive expenditures in order to protect it. Do you want to see it in the same place?
I think we'll let the experts determine how New Orleans is rebuilt.
Now, to me, that's a great example of bad press. Okay, Diane Sawyer knows the president's just lied to her. She says, no, he says no one anticipated the levees being breached. She knows that's not true. She even says now everybody knew the levees could be breached. You plan on building it differently. Instead of saying, Mr. President, did you misstate yourself? Did you make a mistake? Do you want to take that back? She comes back and she asks a totally irrelevant question. Why is it that only here on the Inside Scoop we ask the president the tough questions? What's happened to the mainstream media? Toll-free number 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Walter from Springfield, Virginia, first-time caller. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. You agree or disagree?
Well, I think that, first of all, I'm apolitical on this issue. I think you bring up a lot of good points. I think the main point that you bring up still has to resonate with the American public, which is, like all politics are local, all preparedness is local. And at the end of the day, we can't count on our federal government to come to our rescue immediately, and it'll be some time before they give us aid. That being my position, why did the mayor of New Orleans, a Democratic mayor, under a Democratic governor of the state, order an evacuation using all of his assets on Friday, rather than waiting until Saturday for a voluntary and then finally Sunday for a mandatory, which is well too late into the process?
Well, let me go through your questions one by one, because you raise some good points. First of all, when you say all preparedness is local, that is the way it is today. I mean, I admit it. We're on our own. It's kind of like we're living in Afghanistan with the different tribes. You know, we don't have a federal government anymore. It wasn't always the case. I'm sure you know, Walter, under James Lee Witt, under Bill Clinton, that organization, FEMA, got praised for being there before the hurricane occurs for responding to it.
Absolutely.
And I think you also realize that a small state like Louisiana, and certainly one city of 500,000 people, doesn't have the resources to deal with a massive catastrophe like Hurricane Katrina. In fact, there's only one organization in the United States that has those resources, and that's the United States military.
Correct.
And what the federal government, and I'll get to your point about the mayor in a second, but what the federal government was telling local officials, was telling the mayor, was telling the governor, is hold tight for 48 hours, is what they said, and then we'll be sending in the cavalry. That's a direct quote from Mayor Nagin of what the federal officials were telling him.
That's correct.
And they held tight for 48 hours, and the cavalry didn't come. Now, Mayor Nagin, definitely, he's got a part to blame. Frankly, I think it wasn't until Saturday that we knew it would be a direct hit on New Orleans. He did, you're right, suggest a voluntary evacuation on Friday. And he did give mandatory evacuation orders on Saturday. And 80% of the population was evacuated. Indeed, just about everyone that had a way to get out the rich, the middle class, even the lower middle class, 80% of the population did leave.
Right, I agree. And I think that he pinpointed out earlier, as did the Louisiana newspaper, that the weak point of the emergency evacuation plan was, in fact, the underprivileged.
That's exactly right. And what they said was, you know, to go to the Superdome. And even the Superdome was a bad idea because it happens to be fairly low in the city.
Absolutely. The place
that was higher up was the convention center, which ad hoc at the last minute they said, okay, go to the convention center, but they didn't have police and food and water at the convention center. That was just high ground. It's like a hill, and then I'm sure you know, Walter, though maybe our listeners don't know, that there was complete anarchy there. There were roaming gangs. Again, it was like Afghanistan.
Right.
Gangs
they had
running around.
Approximately 150 National Guardsmen that were dispatched there, and 150 National Guardsmen can't take control of 30,000 people.
Well, that's right. And the thing is that the president didn't even know that anyone was there. Chertoff, the Homeland Security Advisor, didn't know anyone was there. Michael Brown said there are people at the convention center. Here you have the media reporting that the levees are breached, the media reporting the people at the convention center, the media showing thousands of people in line, and the president said at one point, well, it's not confirmed that there's anyone there. And I guess my question is it worthwhile to have a president who actually reads the newspapers? Because Bush is very proud of the fact that he doesn't read the newspapers. He doesn't know what's going on in the world except for what his advisors tell him.
Yeah.
My question to you, Walter, is this. When the president says no one anticipated the breach of the levees, do you think he knows that's false when he said it? Or do you think he's so naive that he just has never considered the issue? What do you think?
Well, I will agree with most that he's not the sharpest tack in the box. I will also say that he corrected that statement, I believe, today by saying that he felt that he said that at the time, after the initial, you know, we really had two disasters here. We had the hurricane followed by the flood. And even Mayor of New Orleans said after the hurricane, boy, I think we've dodged a bullet, it's passed, and then the levees broke, as you so articulately pointed out. Whatever he said is really irrelevant to me or the conversation, because I don't think that's a fact-bearing.
Walter, we only got a few minutes, and then I promise I'll give you more time after the break. But I'll tell you why I think it is relevant, because the question is, do we have a president that's out of touch? Do we have a president that knows what's going on? Or do we have a figurehead like a prince or a king, and we've got Karl Rove and Dick Cheney doing everything in the background? My question for you, Walter, and I'll give you time to think about it, we're going to go through the break if you'll stay on, is at the time he said it, did the president believe what he was saying was true? And if he did, then who's running this country? It's a tough question, I know, and I'm sorry to put you on, Walter. Hang on, because I want to hear what you think about this. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
What kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma?
Asthma.
I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
Where?
Don't swear when you're lying. You know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Hey, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
A rite of passage, a challenge to join the elite, and if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield, even to yourself. You will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines. From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the last 2 minutes of the Inside Scoop. If you haven't been to the website, radioinsidescoop.com, I invite you to check a look. Everything I say can be backed up. If you look, if it shows, you show it on the screen right now. All these articles that are on the screen can be gotten to from the website. Okay, here is an article on disasters waiting to happen. It's not just New Orleans, folks. It's the future. Here's an article on a shameful proclamation editorial in the New York Times about how Bush is planning to pay local people less money, people who are struggling, they're going to pay less than prevailing wages to the poor people to fix the dangers in New Orleans. Halliburton, though, according to this article, will do quite well. They don't get less things. This talks in detail, this article, about the breakdowns that made anarchy occur. This is an article on the destruction of FEMA. How it is that this great agency that used to help people so much became the weak entity that it is today. Here's an article in New York Times Picayune. Did the New Orleans catastrophe have to happen? Talking about all its articles. All of this you can find on the website, and I urge you to check it out. I do have a caller on the line, Walter from Springfield, Virginia. I asked Walter an impossibly tough question, but but you know what? I've given him all this time to think about it. And here's the heart of my question, Walter. When the president said to Diane Sawyer, no one anticipated the breach of the levees, did he believe his own words? Did he think what he was saying was true? Or do you think he was self-consciously lying to the American people?
I can't get inside the president's head any more than you can get inside
the
president's
head. Well, that's why I'm asking you. I figure, you know.
I think that, but you've done some excellent research with your website, and many of those articles are germane. I'm an emergency preparedness consultant, private.
Okay.
Okay, and I continue to research these things. I'm an adjunct instructor with a national program that goes around and talks to local jurisdictions, state jurisdictions, on these exact very topics.
Well, Walter, let me ask you, we've only got about a minute left. In your expertise, what was done to FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, is it weaker now than it was 4-10 years ago?
Whether it is weaker or not, I couldn't tell you, but in terms of the leadership and how it deployed itself for this particular incident, it did not avail itself very, very well.
And in 30 seconds, why do you think that is?
When things like this happen, the Americans want to see their leaders, either Republican or Democratic, on the scene. We should have seen somebody from Washington on the scene as early as Tuesday at the Superdome, at the Convention Center in New Orleans.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Walter, and I guess you got about 30 more seconds, sorry about that, to tell me why weren't they there, because James Lee Witt was on the scene in all the hurricanes when he was there in the 90s. Why wasn't anybody there? My own view, Walter, as I think you know, is that FEMA has been so destroyed from an almost cabinet-level agency with a strong amount of funding to such a minor part of the Department of Homeland Security that the civil servants left. And the only people we could put there was this former Arabian horse judger, Mike Brown, who gave a lot of money and helped Bush in the 2000 campaign.
And you know Mike Brown resigned today.
I do, and goodbye.
Yeah,
and I hope he does better for the Arabian horse world than he did as the head
of FEMA. Okay, anyway, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you for your call, Walter.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you, to my TV listeners, we'll be playing this show again next week if you missed it, and then a week later we'll do another live show on the Inside Scoop. For my radio listeners, tomorrow we've got a terrific debate. It's Debate Tuesday. You probably know that the California legislature has passed a bill allowing gay people the right to marry, the same right to marry that straight people have. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has threatened to veto this bill. And I'm bringing right on my show someone who very much supports the governor. He is the president of the Pacific Justice Institute, a man by the name of Brad Dagan. And he and I are going to hash it out. And if you think I was contentious today, just wait till you hear me take on a person who doesn't believe that all Americans should have equality under the law. So tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, to hear Debate Tuesday on The Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath
when
under
I have the time,
5 minutes.
I can get it to the second.
Well, yeah.
When I don't have it, I've got to, yeah. No, I know. That's why it frustrates me, because then I just have to sort of talk in general and then, oh, got to run out. Whereas I have a nice little arc to end on the, you know.
It was a good show.
We had two local listeners. Yeah. I didn't know. I kept playing at the TV.
I know this. That's why we ran in here.
Right. Now I know for next time.
Yeah. Well, that's the first time you...
We had two local callers and no national callers. That's the first.
Well... Time frame.
Oh yeah, this is a great time.
You should watch.
I know
the show.
That was a great caller.
If you can, you should watch the show, because
I'll take it.
It's well, I'm going to create a DVD tonight. Jim's supposed to.
Most of my antics at the beginning were like, you know, turn the volume up and stuff.